now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, I have Masaki Miyagawa back to talk about a variety of things. Arcana.com, Masaki, well-known in our field, well-versed in a variety of issues, from the purely 3D verging on 4D to the hyperdimensional aspect. We're going to cover as much ground as we can today. So without any further ado, Masaki Miyagawa, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hi, James. Glad to be back. It's a nice sunny day in LA, despite the dystopian world we're in. So, just got my Trader Joe's triple shot espresso here and
good on you.
Rock. Yeah.
Got my dark tea with honey in it, real Australian honey.
That's right.
Oh, well, Masaki, what have you been up to? You were talking before, and we'll get more into this as the show progresses, but you feel, I feel, many feel, something big is in the wind. We've seen a lot of indications suggesting that something is big is coming up, and we don't want to, fuel the fire of the Chicken Little syndrome, but, you know, we've been around long enough that we can get a sense of what's going on.
It's just being realistic, you know, and I think that one of the big things that's going to happen this year, possibly, maybe even this month, probably by summer, is the financial implosion. So I thought this was going to happen last year because remember, I, along with many others, had forecast that 2020 would be the first year of the reset, you know. No matter what system, esoteric reading system you're using, a lot of people knew 2020 was going to be big. Fortunately, we only got hit with certain things, right? The lockdowns and so forth. But the real economic blowout, even though a lot of people lost their businesses and jobs and so forth, the hyperinflation, the bond market implosion, these kind of things, basically a systemic financial collapse did not happen in 2020. However, there's many things indicating that probably the quote unquote bomb already went off and the public just hasn't been told, because we had this Reddit movement, the GameStop, you know, with the so-called common man, although I think that at some level the powers that be have their hands behind these attack on the short positions, right? Because really, so if people haven't heard of this, there was this movement on Reddit, the website Reddit, where certain stocks with large short positions held by Wall Street hedge funds were identified, and, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people put, you know, basically put cash into these stocks, which would put the Wall Street hedge funds underwater, right? Which I don't have a problem with, because these hedge funds are predatory. They're basically reptilian extraction mindset. But you have to know that if these hedge funds implode, and especially they're also targeting the silver market, right? If the silver market were to, you know, implode, because there's a massive paper short. We people that have looked into this for years know that the silver and gold market has been manipulated. Basically, it's a paper price. But if you were to go to a store right now and try to get, say, a physical 1 ounce silver coin at the paper price, you're not going to get it at that price. There's going to be like a $10 premium to get that 1 ounce of silver. This would implode the financial system, which what? That pushes us into further into the Great Reset, right? So probably, I'm not saying it's totally controlled, but I would definitely think that the powers that be have their hands in this Wall Street Bets movement. And it was about a week or two ago, the Fed, so the U.S. Federal Reserve, their SWIFT system totally locked up for hours This is serious. This has never happened before. You're basically talking about one of the key points of the global financial system just stopping dead in its tracks, right? So there's just many signs that we're right on the edge, like the roller coaster. We're right on that tipping point where we're going to descend into the next level of financial collapse. And a lot of us have been feeling off. And I was telling you, James, I was basically knocked out for 2 or 3 weeks. You know, like, not like seriously ill, but just no energy. You know, I would go to the post office, do my daily runs, and just have to take a nap. So there's energetic shifts happening on the planet, definitely. I couldn't tell you exactly what it means, but a lot of us have been feeling it. And it seems like the Ring of Fire, you know, like geologically, it's activating now, right? Huge, you know, 7, 8.0 earthquakes by New Zealand, Iceland, you know, volcanic activity. And there's even some people talking about Yellowstone again. That's been going on and off for years, right? People talking about the mega caldera or whatever it is, this huge magma plume underneath Yellowstone. I mean, we don't want to be doomers, but I would say we are in that time where some of these things could go active and it's going to raise some eyebrows, right? So,
well, we saw in the 2008 financial collapse when the derivatives began to unwind, what happened was this strong, and I could be getting my years mixed up and financial crisis mixed up, but if memory serves, Lehman Brothers was shorted out. Was that that time frame, Masaki?
Well, there was a Lehman thing, and then there was, I think, you know, even going back to the late 90s, there's the LTCM short, basically the whole financial system was about to implode in the late 90s, but they've been kicking the can down the road for decades now.
Yes.
Because this thing was supposed to come to an end. If they hadn't created the petrodollar in the 70s, it would have been over then.
It would have been over, yes.
But, you know, basically, fiat currencies, you know, they don't have a very long lifetime. It's like maybe 100, maybe 120 years, something like that.
We're beyond that. And the point of relevance was that Lehman Brothers was a strong, financially solvent corporation, but whether it was chosen as a sacrificial lamb, and I'm drawing a parallel with the Reddit move currently and what's happening with silver, either Lehman Brothers was chosen as a sacrificial lamb and the investors, some of the investors were aware of that, or the Goldman Sachs crowd decided, well, we don't like those guys. They're not fully on board with this. We're taking them down, and we're going to use that as an excuse for the derivatives unwinding and you know, and all the rest that ensued. So I have no problems with the notion that the whole Reddit short scheme and the resultant mass buying of silver, and I don't want to too much of a conspiratorial spin on this, ascribing too much power to the powers that be, that they're behind everything. But we have to look at it from the standpoint, Masaki, of does this ultimately benefit us, or does it ultimately benefit them if the intention is to have this great financial reset?
Well, you know, the basically the system's been dead for, it's like a zombie. So it's been rotted from the inside out for a long time. So the collapse has to happen. But, you know, as it's presented to the public, the Wall Street Bets is like, oh, it's the common man getting back at the establishment. You have to know that even if it wasn't started as a financial op by the powers that be, they would stick their hands in and kind of guide it, right? So, you know, the system's going to collapse anyway. So I think people just have to understand that. And practically, what can you do? Now, this is not financial advice, but this is just standard practice if you understand what's happening, right? Don't keep too much money in the bank, right? typical thing that happens, financial crisis, say Latin America scenario, bank runs, right? Or like, let's say Greece, a lot of countries.
Cyprus outright looted by the bankers. Yeah.
So what's a bank run? Well, basically people think, the average person thinks that all the money that you've deposited is in that bank. No, that's not how it works. It's fractional banking, right? So if you have like $1,000 in there, they probably have a penny, if that. They might have a buck, maybe. But when, you know, hundreds of bank clients go to the bank to pull their money out, well, they don't have that money in the back, right? So they'll just shut the doors. So that's one thing. Don't have too much money in the bank. Obviously, have some food prep. You know, just like, you know, I'm in LA in California, so people should have prep anyway for emergency earthquake measures and so forth. But, you know, have some extra food prep. I would say at least a few weeks worth. So if anything happens, then you don't have to freak out. And, you know, look at what happened in Texas. Texas is one of the most self-sufficient states in the U.S., but they seem to have gotten hit by some kind of weather war, freak snowstorm. Like it's a once in 100 year snowstorm, right? And then people were going to their Kroger's or HEB market, you know, lines around the block and freezing temperatures, and you were limited to 15 items. Now, you know, now things are getting back to normal, but when you're talking about a financial implosion, supply chain and those kind of things becomes an issue. So just have some extra food prep, you know.
And the power grid went down, leaving millions of people, hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses without power.
Well, people died.
People that had the means got on planes and headed south. To other places, Florida or wherever, to get warmer. Or they drove around in their cars with the heater on, or sat parked somewhere with the heater on. This is what I was getting from people I know in Texas, right? Because their homes became uninhabitable because of the cold. And we've seen in the past, Misaki, you alluded to the weather warfare, the polar vortex that North America had been hit with the past, and these people, I have no reason to doubt the veracity of these videos where they take this fake pseudo snow and apply like a blowtorch to melt, you know?
You know, the thing is this has been going on for decades, but the average well-to-do Westerner didn't pay no mind, right? Because let's say people in Africa, they've been getting hit with this weather warfare, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to hit you with a couple years of drought, you know, the rivers dry up, the crops fail. And then after 5 years, they're like, okay, you ready to take that IMF loan now? Right. So, and you know, same thing with the so-called color revolution, right? The U.S. has been flipping countries for decades, you know, for like 100 years, something like that. So the exact tactics that were used, say, in Ukraine, with the exact same players, was used in the recent U.S. election. But the average person didn't pay attention, and I think they still don't understand what's happening. But this is the thing: when empire gets to this point, it is so corrupt, so rapacious, so evil. You don't think they're going to use the exact same tools they've been using externally, internally, right? So, yeah, I mean, for those of us that can see, it's plainly obvious, but it's no mystery. I mean, the same tools empire has been using for on them little countries that you didn't care about, well, now it's come home. Like Malcolm X said, the chickens, you know, come home to roost. But I think the thing is not to freak out, but you know, just position yourself so you can be some of the best prepared, whereas most people are total reactionary, so they're going to react when it's too late. Whereas if you know, and a lot of people, they may not have tremendous means, but just picking up some extra food, some extra water. I think everybody can do that, you know. And then if you have the means, maybe pick up a little gold and silver. Especially silver is like the poor man's gold. It's not that expensive, you know. I think right now it's around, you know, maybe $30 an ounce. And I would tell you, physical silver today is worth at least $100 an ounce. They're just suppressing the price. And then, you know, everybody has their ideas about cryptocurrency. But I would tell you, even if it's the entry into the beast system, given the choice of having a foot in or not, I would at least educate yourself to at least be able to receive cryptocurrency, or, you know, when things start going, I think it's going to help bridge this next couple of years, because the amount of inflation or the amount of, you know, the fiat currency that's being printed right now, it's not just the US, it's all countries. Because I think it's already been decided. They're going to print to zero and then switch over to a digital system, right? If you would have taken that stimulus check last year, which was, I think it was like $1,200 in the spring of 2020, and put it into, like, say, Bitcoin, it'd be like $10,000 now. You know why? Because they're able to suppress certain things like gold and silver, at least the paper price right now. But it's much more difficult for them to suppress the flow of this hot money, or like hide the price, right? This inflation in the cryptocurrency. So that's why cryptocurrency is exploding. People look at it like, I'm making tremendous gains in Bitcoin and, you know, the other cryptocurrencies. But what you could look at it the opposite way. What's actually happening, the buying power of the US dollar and other fiat currencies is going to zero. It's dropping like a stone. You know, so I actually have a video, James. I can post the link or send you the link afterwards. But I specifically made a video a few months ago with a title, you know, Currency Reset in 2021. And in that video, I had a friend in Brazil give a testimonial. What happens in a situation of hyperinflation? Because the thing is, again, going back to the thing, the average Westerner, and, you know, a lot of your viewers are probably coming from Europe or Australia, New Zealand, US, Canada, so forth. They think it can't happen here. Well, guess what, people? It is here. It is here now. So my friend Paula in Sao Paulo, Brazil, her family, this was the last currency reset in Brazil, which was probably like 20 years ago. They have a currency blowout down there like every 20 years or so, right? So her family had sold their house. So they had the money in the bank. They're going to buy a new house. Unfortunately, their money was in the bank at the exact time they locked the banks up and they switched to the new currency, right? So they just lop a couple zeros off the end, and it was probably like 1,000-to-1 conversion. So she said they sold their house, which, let's just say, for example, it was 500,000 US dollars as an example, right? After the conversion, because of the hyperinflation, right? They, in Brazil, they converted, the currency at that time was Cruzeiro, and then the new currency was Real. So, you know, they just, it was becoming, it's like a Zimbabwe situation. It becomes inconvenient when you have like a million, you have to give somebody $1 million note. So they just lop a couple zeros off the end. And the value of the house that they had in the bank went from the value of a house to a washer, a dryer, and the installation of a phone line. So you're talking like 500,000 down to like 5,000, maybe. This is what's coming to, you know, it's a, but it's a global reset now. So, you know, I would just try to position yourself where you're going to be least affected by this, because you got to think about it. The average person has not prepared for this at all. Your listeners are probably at least aware, at least if you can't do anything physically, at least be mentally prepared, because this kind of reset, I think people will lose their minds. Because there's a lot of people, James, they think if they wear the mask, if they're a good boy, if they do everything they're told, we can go back to 2019, when that is plainly, obviously not going to happen, right? So just get prepared. You know, like I said, don't keep too much money in the bank. Have some food prep. But actually, you know, it doesn't have to be purely a defensive position, because I've mentioned many times, I think I mentioned it the last time I was on your show, actually the metaphysical people are some of the best prepared, and some are even excelling in this time. I myself, before I was laid out for a couple weeks, because I basically took a self-imposed vacation, January 2021, I had more readings than in, like, I think I did 13, 14 readings in 1 month, and that's more than I did in 4 months in 2020. And I don't advertise, you know, so there's the, I think the thing is that there's a lot of people now, we're in a state of transition, right? So there's a lot of people asking questions, and the mainstream thinking is not answering the questions people have, right? So in that way, if you're a reader, if you do, you know, any kind of body work, healing work, balancing work, you know, the metaphysics is very strong right now. And it, according to the astrological transits, it will be strong for another 5 years until 2026. So the client pool is basically unlimited. And guess what? Even beyond 2026, the AI cannot reproduce the creative, esoteric, metaphysical human being. There's no way. And we know this from the projects, right? They may be able to use assets to get that information, but the AI, that kind of reptilian, cold, calculating mindset, they just, for whatever reason, they just can, they do not have the power to have that vision, right? So there's your answer right now. A lot of your listeners and people in our kind of people, I think we'll be okay. And you got to make your preparations, but don't just think of it as a defensive position. It's like, this is a time where in actuality, a lot of these restrictions is pushing us to go to the next level. And they're actually helping us in a way, because if this didn't happen, we'd be doing our thing. But because we're in a position where, you know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So in fact, the restriction energy that's being put on us, we're actually popping out and excelling and going to the next level because we're being forced to.
Yes, yeah. Negative motivation, if you want to call it that, works as well as positive motivation. If there's something that creates something of an ouch factor, like, ouch, I don't like that, or the potential for that, ouch, then it compels us to have to do something about it. And when you factor in some of the other things that we're seeing, and we look at it as, you know, parts of a mosaic, Bill Gates and others like him probably buying up huge swaths of farmland, the ongoing attack through all this legislation in the individual states, it's not really individual, it's all a patchwork now, but also the executive orders that are coming out like a stream, Digital Joe just signing off on numerous executive orders going after the coal, oil, gas industry, the ongoing attack against American farmers, and Gates and company buying up all this farmland. You alluded earlier to the constriction that's going to happen. It's already happening to the food supply. So that's one thing that people really need to focus on is food, because as we've seen in Texas, as a recent example, shut down, blizzard conditions, no electricity, people literally freezing to death in their homes. It's, we're at that stage now where at any moment they can decide to spread out what happened in Texas elsewhere. And then there's geopolitical issues at work too. Right on cue, Biden, Digital Joe, or whoever is pulling his strings, we start to see renewed conflict in the Middle East. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, these are all programs, right? And then also, it's with Biden, you know, and Biden's like brain dead. So it's just like that neocon group, right? Is business back to usual? So, you know, Obama, you know, under the Obama administration, they created ISIS. They created all them problems over there. So why wouldn't it go back to a conflict in the Middle East? I think that one of the things to consider is, hey, all these Bill Gates, Fauci, you know, the Biden, so forth. Oh, our friend Klaus Schwab, the Dr. Evil. Dr. Evil from Austin Powers, right? I mean, it's so cartoonish at this point. It's like, yes, these agendas are in play, but I think what these archontic types, they don't understand is they're part of the game too. They think that they're controlling this whole thing when they're just playing the role of the bad guy on the playing board. And I think Universe, it likes a good game. So if everything was just to collapse and go total dystopian, it's not that interesting. Now, I think we know at least half, probably much more than half of the population, they've basically already given up. They're going to get sucked into this like hive mind society, the smart cities and so forth. But I really do believe, James, and I wouldn't say this just to say this to be like love and light. Like, I'm a realist. And what I'm seeing is it's a splitting that's happening right now. So you are going to have alternative areas and spaces for creative types, the people that are very sure in who they are and what they're doing, and doing the good work, you know, energy work, metaphysics, so forth. I just don't see any of us saying, okay, we bow down and take the shot and we're going to go along with the smart city agenda and so forth. I'm not going to do that. And we're producers too. We create, we produce energy. We make things happen. So I think that this kind of mindset, we're going to naturally gravitate to our kind of people, communities, areas where we can live as freely as possible, but it's going to be a parallel society. You're seeing, you know, in the Bible, they talk about the separation of the wheat and the chaff, right? There's only two ways to go now. You're seeing a hard split, and, you know, so you're going to see two parallel tracks. It's interesting that I'm sure you've seen this or talked about this, that it's interesting that in the last couple of years, I think Trump had something to do with it. It's like the polarization, right? And then with the whole COVID hitting, you saw a change in people. And I'm not saying that they're bad people, but a lot of the mask people were, I jokingly call them the Branch Covidians, you know, like the David Koresh, the Branch Davidians. This is the Covidian, the mask cult, right?
I call them mask holes.
Yeah. So it's like, where's the person I used to know? It's like their entire personality got drained out and they're just these NPC, you know, those kind of those clone characters you see in the video games. They're NPCs, right? The non-player character. It's like, where's the person I used to know? All they do is they spit out the catchphrases and the things from the MSM mainstream media. And it's like, it's strange. You know, it's like when everything was quote unquote normal, and we didn't quite fit in the normal society, right? Now the game has been flipped. We're the oddballs, the freaks, the weirdos, the project people. We become the center because we've always known and seen at some level the reality that the mainstream accepts. That's just a cover story. There's a true reality that we've always been involved with that now is being exposed. It's like the kind of like a revelation of the method. This has always been going on, but now it's being revealed to the mass society, right? And there's something with that, that the people that are, you know, could be our friends, family, people we know, coworkers. It's a transmutation somehow. We're now, they're becoming NPCs, or maybe they always were at some level, but we're able to see it now because I think they just can't handle what's happening. You know, what do you think about that, James?
Well, I've mentioned previously, and I don't want to sound calloused or, you know, dispassionate about it, but the realist aspect you alluded to earlier, that's what I'm all about. And when I see somebody, a colleague in some endeavor, not a close friend or intimate, an acquaintance, someone that's not inside my inner circle, and they are clearly behaving like an NPC, clearly behaving like an automaton, just parroting out all this mainstream blarney. And in true divide and conquer fashion, they're manifesting animosity and hostility towards those who step outside of the norm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why do they have that, you know, wedding party? Why didn't they practice social distancing? Why didn't they wait for the results of their test instead of going out and creating another outbreak, right? When I hear that, it's that divide you're talking about, right? And then this parallel track which they're on, the tracks lead off the end of a cliff, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
And it, again, not to sound callous or dispassionate, but, you know, better thee than me. Because if they had their way, these mask holes, they would forcibly hold us all down, administer whatever treatments the regime have in mind, right? And, you know, basically annihilate us. So when I look at it in such cold, stark terms, seemingly, but I'm also looking at it from a pragmatic standpoint, yes, the great culling has begun. I'm already at peace internally, at peace in my heart, that people I know, people that I love, are on that track to go off that cliff. And I'm at that point now, Misaki, where I'm not going to spin my wheels. Even for people I know and love, they know my stance about a lot of things. I'm not going to spin my wheels, get them aggravated and irritated at me because I'm pouring my heart out to them and saying, okay, look, you know, this is what's going on. Because the programming is such, Misaki, that, and this is where I know that there's some entity involvement at work, because in order for the dogmas, whether it's the scientific dogmas, whether it's the religious dogmas, it's all one big cult in its various manifestations. In order for the dogmas to be maintained, there has to be some energy influence that Jerry Marzinski and others talk about to keep those OCD thought loops, keep those intrusive thoughts, keep those reactionary responses in line. Okay, that's the way I see it. And so I'm already at peace with the fact that a lot of the people I know that are in this NPC mask hole category, they're not going to be around much longer. So,
well, you know what? Death is a better option to where this thing could go. Because if you die early, if you're one of them people that you die in that first week after you get the jab in your butt, you know, that's probably the better option, because the other option is, you know, who knows what's in these jabs, or if it's not this year, you know, they're tweaking it, right? They can always put something in next year or the year after that. Now you're going towards the whole transhumanist area. So maybe if you die early, that's probably the better option. But, you know, I was down in Central Texas last fall. Robert Phoenix, astrologer Robert Phoenix, he has a show, and he put together a gathering for his followers, right? Called the Hill Country Harvest meetup. I went down there. First time I was in Texas. A lot of Trumpers, a lot of QAnon types. And it was interesting. You know, I'm at, you know, even though I'm in LA, I'm very open to that kind of mentality because a lot of us listen to so-called Patriot Radio and that kind of thing for years, right? And it was interesting because where a lot of people think that they're racists and they're extremists and so forth, all I saw was people that they want to be left alone, they want to be independent, and, you know, they're not trying to impose anything on anybody else. And I'm not a Christian. You know, I grew up in a Buddhist tradition. You know, I said before, my mom's side's a Buddhist priest for hundreds of years. But let me tell you, people that discount Christian biblical thinking 100%, you are missing the point. Because what can you call what's happening with Bill Gates and these other types? They're just devils, man. The old devil. You look at Bill Gates with his sweater of doom, right? He's just an old devil. That's all I can say, you know. So it's interesting too that a lot of these far left types and the Antifas, you will never hear them say such and such is evil. Because now I'm not saying, you know, you should judge people and that kind of thing, but they don't go there because they're in a more 3D type thinking. When the fact of the matter is, we are in a spiritual frequency war. So that's what I picked up when I went down to Texas.
Part of the leftist Luciferian con is it's a materialist thing. There is no God. There is no spirituality. It's all about acquisition of wealth by taking it from those unworthy oppressors and giving it to the rest of us freeloaders, basically. But on the other hand, it's run by Luciferians, as you know.
Well, James, didn't science blow up the planet the last time? That's what happened in Atlantis. It was science because they got two in their heads. They got separated from the Earth, right? And it, when it's all logical in your head, but you're disconnected from spirit and the Earth and other people, well, that's the mentality of a psychopath. So I think there's a value to science and scientific method because you need the logic, right? That's what they call the sacred masculine. But you need to balance it with the other half of the intuition, the spiritualism, which they call the sacred feminine, right? So I think what a lot of these 3D, well, they're basically Satanists, okay? They just worship the 3D, you know? What they do not take into account, and you notice how there was a big fashion movement in the last few years where they're wearing like NASA shirts, right? They're like, I'm science, like I'm all about, it's basically like Bill Nye the Science Guy is their god, right? Like I'm all about, I don't believe in your sky god, I'm all about science. Well, number one, they probably don't even realize that NASA is a Nazi organization. They're pointing the finger like, oh, you Nazis. Well, you're wearing the logo of a Nazi organization called NASA, right? But if you're purely so-called science-minded, you're basically a Luciferian, right? Because it's all about my science. It's all about the logic. But extreme logic, if you want to push it to the extreme, that's AI. That's artificial intelligence. You have, you know, everything in balance, right? So it's okay to have logic. And I appreciate people that are questioning, that they don't buy everything straight off. Like, I would appreciate people that back check what I say, because that's just common sense. But if you only go by the above board 3D and you don't take into consideration the long tradition and the human being is basically a psychic being, right? If you don't understand the amount of time and energy and how much has been written, spoken, put into artwork and so forth about the spiritualism of the human experience, you have lost the plot because There's something to that. And right, metaphysics is a kind of a science. It's just, it's at a level that you only get to in the mainstream science when you get to those higher levels, because you're talking about dimensions, right? You're talking about the quantum aspects, the holographic universe. It's just that most people do not connect the two, right? It's like the metaphysics is actually the higher science, because as we know, James, the top scientists, they are all occultists, right? So,
well, you look back in history, people like Jack Parsons, Parsons, right? Dabbling with the, who's that other Satanist that he was working with doing the Babylon working?
Oh, was L. Ron Hubbard.
L. Ron Hubbard. Even Crowley was afraid of what L. Ron Hubbard was up to, but that way, right? He was trying to talk Parsons out of having anything to do with him. And Parsons wound up being a founder or co-founder of the Jet Propulsion Labs, for crying out loud. So that linkage with the occult, if you will, the esoteric, was always there. But what they managed to do, it's clever, is they like walled off like the non-initiates, the people that were regarded as just being useful idiots are like hopelessly enmeshed in this materialistic reductionist point of view. Whereas at the higher levels, as you know, they're all steeped into this hyperdimensional arcane kind of operational mode. And so that's why we're seeing things like CERN. That's why we're seeing things like the 5G rollout. It's, they know that they're punching holes in dimensional barriers. That's what that's all about.
Well, the funny thing is that although above board they claim to be purely science-based, if you start digging into their thought process, and sometimes they openly say it, like Geordie Rose with the D-Wave quantum computers. I mean, they're basically saying exactly what the Christians believe, just in reverse, right? Because they're talking about, well, we're punching holes into other dimensions to bring these dark lords in.
The old ones that H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah, he said the old ones.
Freaking decades ago.
Geordie Rose said they're bringing basically what you would call the old ones back. You know, they're trying to crack Leviathan out of the pit. You know, so. Now, I don't think it's something to be afraid of, but I think it, you have to understand we're in a time now entering these Aquarian energies where Aquarius rules high strange. So do not be surprised if you see some very odd things in the media and what's happening. And I think that the antidote or the way to rise to the higher level is you do your own self work. You raise your vibration and you use the energy tools. Because most people, they know me from, the Orgon pyramids, tensor ring pendants, crystals and so forth. And you use these tools to not only help yourself, and it can be pleasing and fun, but it raises your so-called frequency. And, you know, if you... There's this idea that if you raise your vibration, you become much less susceptible to these lower demonic energies, right? And practically what I found, James, is, hey, we're never perfect, but if you've done enough self-work, you're just much less of a target, because these entities are kind of like bullies, right? So if they look at you and they go, yeah, you know what? This guy, he's just, it's a lot more work to pick on this guy. So we're going to go look at somebody else, right? That's, in my experience, that's kind of how it works, because we all have, you know, naturally born into this world. This is an imperfect world. It should be clear. You don't come in here perfect, because that's not the point. You come in imperfect, right? So we all have our traumas. We have our problems. We have family issues. Some is from this lifetime, but I would tell you that we are multidimensional. So we got multidimensional problems. So sometimes it comes from other timelines. But when you have these, they're kind of like imbalances. when you have these traumas and so forth, you actually have energetic holes in your field, or they're just like kind of like triggers or something where, you know, it's like somebody's poking your soft spot, right? And then if they know how to trigger you, then you get off balance, right? But the more that you work on it, you kind of neutralize those things, you make your energy, your field nice and solid, you know, nice and balanced, the point of entry of attack becomes fewer and fewer, right? So that's what I'm saying, is the more that you work, actually, the self-work, I think, is as important or more important than the outer work, because the stronger you are internally, the less you are susceptible to attacks externally, right? So I think that's one of the things that I think a lot of your listeners have naturally been on that path for years, but thank goodness we've been doing it, because things are moving so fast now, James. Imagine if you never had the mind to look into these things, and now you're trying to deal with the lockdowns and trying to stay afloat financially. How much time do you have to look into what's going on and then process it? You know, so I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think that being the outsider, it was actually a benefit. And I was talking to a former CO, a corrections officer, worked in a prison for years. And he was saying that one of the most severe punishments, or one of the most hardcore ways to break a person down, it's not physical torture, it's isolation, you know. But weirdos like us, we've been isolated in some way for years already, because we didn't have no interest in the normal world, right? Either we had to work on stuff in the metaphysical realm, or that's just our setup, that we were already seeing what was going on just below the surface, right? But the average people who live in their normal life, you probably already heard it. A lot of them, they can't take it no more. They're saying, just let me out. Let's go back to normal. Give me that jab. But that's not the answer, right?
I've heard people say, bring it on. That's I've heard people say that. Bring it on. Bring on the jab. Bring on the backs, right? So what we're seeing is, and first of all, very good point about the importance of creating the serene sanctuary for ourselves, and then scaling it up and pushing, instead of like wrapping ourselves in kind of a cocoon, so to speak, energetically push out so all that crap is energetically as far away as possible. And then you look at what they've done to the mainstream, Misaki, where you talked about pushing the triggers in a true narcissistic, scaled up planetary wide fashion. This narcissistic abuse, this never ending gaslighting to the masses who insist on getting all their information from the TV, talk about pushing their buttons in every conceivable way. You know, wildfires, mm-hmm. climate change, this, that. It just so combined with the physical aspect of the isolation, and there's places around the world that are in big time lockdown still, you're seeing depression go through the roof, you're seeing alcohol, substance abuse go through the roof. You're seeing domestic violence go through the roof. This all adds up to a gigantic loosh fest for the entities. And it's important to understand. And that's why the purpose behind this narcissistic spiritual warfare panel that I took part in over the weekend, where we address these issues. When the narcissistic abuser is meting out all this abuse towards his or her victim, there's a spiritual component to it, Misaki, and that's the underlying factor that, like you talked about how people are just coming to grips with this right now, but even at just the surface level, people that are dealing with this at the surface conspiratorial level will have a difficult time grasping what's going on. They have a leg up compared to the masses that are still, you know, in sleepwalking zombie mode. But for those that are just like looking at this from a surface level standpoint and don't see the spiritual warfare dynamic behind it, they're also going to be prone to these sudden impulsive fits of anger and confusion and are still going to be prone to emotional meltdowns, Misaki, if they don't realize that there are unseen entities that are poking sticks at them constantly.
Well, you know, I think everything is on the table now. So that's one maybe good thing, because there's no question about what's going on. And it's interesting that, you know, you're talking about the narcissist, sociopath or psychopath. I mean, we have Gavin Newsom here, the governor in California. I mean, he literally looks like American Psycho.
He's a lizard boy. I've seen his eyes go vertical before.
Was it Christian Bale? People should go, you don't have to watch the full movie, but just go look up American Psycho and look at the stills from that movie. I mean, this guy he's a psycho, and he's connected to the Getty family, which are known, they're basically Illuminati, right? Very strange things around the Getty family, very powerful here in California. So it's not just Gavin Newsom, but a lot of these health commissars and all of the agents of the system, like Lori Lightfoot, you know, aka Beetlejuice. I mean, they just look strange, James. Look at these politicians. They look strange. It is plainly obvious they are whatever they are. They ain't normal human, you know. And I don't know if you saw this recent video of Fauci. He was talking, but it looks like he's wearing a mask. Like, what is that? And I looked in my mind intuitively. I don't think it's a deep fake. So that is even more disturbing. Like, are these people even human? You know?
Well, yes, because we know in our field that that's exactly what's going on. They're hybrid. Many of them are hybridized reptilian humans in human form. And the occultic aspect of the mass also, in a lot of the cult abuse, who are the ones meeting out the abuse and sadistic violence? Oftentimes they're wearing masks, right? Okay. And so now, or hoods and masks and cloaked and whatnot, and now we're seeing that scaled up. We're seeing it writ large, where even Digital Joe is standing there with mask on. Yeah. And, you know, what's happened, you talk about the separation between people and the physical distancing and, mm-hmm. and all that, and all of it numerically, you know, 1.5 equals 6, of course, and everything has to do with numerology, you know. I had to get my glasses mm-hmm. upgraded because my prescription had changed. I was sitting across the lady. I'd already chosen, like, what frames I wanted because I have prescription mm-hmm. sunglasses and these ones, right? And she's there behind the mask. And it was just like the old Peanuts cartoons, mm-hmm. Misaki, you know, with when the teacher would talk to the yeah, Charlie Brown and the rest of the students. It was like, right? And she's looking at all these price scales. Oh, and they're always trying to upsell you. Oh, you want this kind of tint and this kind of, you know, protective. But it was all coming out like, and I'm thinking, this is a perfect metaphor for the human condition, where we can't even speak in the same language, Misaki. And I'm there with a straight face. I'm thinking, just give me the cheapest option, right? So I can, you know, come back in a couple of weeks and pick my glasses
up. Well, a lot of people have been saying this, and I've said it here and there. I think it's one way to look at it, that we're in a game. We're in a cosmic game. So if you understand that and you know how to play the game, you might do better than just, you know, operating as the normies do, because you can even look at it in the Masonic Lodge, what's on the floor, the Masonic tile, the black and white squares, right? This is a game. This is a cosmic game. I don't know who started it, but we are in a kind of a game. And if there are cosmic laws, and you have to know that even they, quote unquote, adhere to certain laws, just like, for whatever reason, they broadcast what they're going to do to the public. So in a way, it's some kind of karmic out or something. I still believe that they get some whoop ass from doing the things that they're doing, but they often broadcast what they're going to do. So they could say, well, we told you what we're going to do. If you didn't understand it, that's besides the point, because we told you. So it's, you know, going back to what I said, what's the protection, or even what's the way to excel? Handle your own business, do your self work, raise your energy, right? start tapping into these metaphysical areas. Even if you're doing a complete above board regular business, inform it with the esotericism. You know, make your moves. Maybe you consult a metaphysical reader, because this is the realm that we're going into. The playing board has flipped now. We're in these Aquarian energies, which is strange. It's the stuff that we've always been into, right? Being aware of the multidimensionality, being aware that there's different kind of energies. We're operating on different levels, right? And then move with a confidence that I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. And what we do of our own free will. And you were saying about, you know, there's a lot of people that we know, so it's probably half or more of the public that's getting these jabs. But guess what? God made them too. That's the role that they've decided to play. And of your own free will, you're putting that witch's brew in your veins. I'm not going to do it. But if that's what you want to do, you do you. So, I mean, this is where we're at, right? We're at the splitting. And in a way, though, like I was saying before, even though we're not a majority, there are a lot of people, James, much more than 10 or 20 years ago, that can see what we've always seen. And these people are actually rising to another level. We're a massive society. They're taking a step down. So in a way, we're getting stronger, I think. That's a good way to look at it.
That's exactly how I feel, because each one of us are a dynamo in and of ourselves because of the information understanding and the metaphysical understanding that we have. So when we look at it from that standpoint, that the odds actually have evened out in a sense, because we have more clarity, Misaki, right? Mm-hmm. We have more clarity about what's going on. It's so in your face now that it makes it easier for us to make the choices we need to flourish, not just survive, but actually flourish in this reality, because we are multidimensional beings and we need to draw all these disparate, seemingly disparate aspects of ourselves operating and flourishing in other dimensions and pull them within, because we are the sum of all of our parts. Well, we're just getting started. We've had a fascinating discussion with old friend Misaki Miyagawa. Misaki, how can people peruse your product line and check out your Patreon and all that?
Sure. Well, my website is akaida.com. It's akaida.com. I have a number of energy tools there, you know, tensor ring pendants. I don't have many of the regular organite pyramids right now, but I do have the muffin-shaped tower busters, which are relatively, you know, inexpensive. If you want some EMF protections, you can check out all my things there, akaida.com. I'm on YouTube at Akaida TV, and my Patreon is Pyramid Power at Patreon. So, yeah, check me out there.
And for our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.